Be More Chill is Broadway's newest hit. However, it is already loved by fans the world over due to a cast recording of a 2015 New Jersey production taking on a life of its own on the internet and leading to the fandom propelling it back into the spotlight. The show itself is about Jeremy, an unpopular teenager trying to navigate high school and talk to the girl of his dreams. His entire life changes when an upperclassman offers him the chance to become cooler by taking a squip, a supercomputer pill from Japan that implants in your brain and tells you what to do, helping you achieve all of your goals. But after Jeremy takes it and learns how to be popular, he finds trouble with the real people in his life, and then discovers a plot that would destroy the world as he knows it. You know, high school. My guest today is my friend Roberto, who was previously on the show to talk about Rent. I hope you enjoy our conversation about Be More Chill.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
So I'm pretty sure this episode is going to be going out. I want to plan it to go out about the time that Be More Chill is premiering on Broadway, but we are recording it in November. So if there have been developments that we are not discussing on the podcast, that is why. Just a disclaimer. Also, Roberto's here.
Yeah. Hey, everyone.
You may remember him from my previous Rent episode. There's a couple different similarities between those episodes. One, we are again talking about a show that we're both highly obsessed with and talk about all the time. Two, neither of us have done any formal preparation because we just talk about it all the time, and so we just rolled up with some microphones. When we recorded the Rent episode, I was like coming off of an all-nighter, though. And really? Now I feel... I'm relatively well rested. You're coming off of a week of tech week.
Right. So not quite well rested.
How are you feeling?
Tired but good. My voice is gone, but that's okay.
Last night was our show choir's concert, and even though I am old and graduated, alums are always welcome back at concerts to come sing the alumni song Corner of the Sky and everything, and so that's why I'm here in town. And Roberto and I have been talking about Be More Chill pretty much nonstop since July.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had to make the time to record an episode about it.
Of course.
So tell me, how did this musical enter your life?
Yes. So I think it all started, well, one, I think I still live in 2005, so I still use Pandora. And I was just, like, listening to, like, something on, like, Shuffle or something. And Michael in the Bathroom came up. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, my God, this song is, like, pretty crazy, but it's like really good. But so I only knew that song for a while, and I really liked Michael in the Bathroom, but I didn't really know too much about the show, didn't know too much about like Drew Salazar, anyone, anything. And then I knew I was gonna be in New York for the summer, and I was like trying to see like, oh, what shows I wanted to see, and I knew Be More Chill was playing off Broadway, and I thought, oh, like I don't know too much about the show right now, but like I'm sure I'll love to see it. So I just got tickets for it like months in advance, and then like kind of just that was it. And then during the summer I was like, well, I'm walking into this, I probably should know something about it. When I was at work, I would like I started listening to the soundtrack like literally I think it was a few days before I went to see the actual show, and I was not super into it at first. I was like, what? I'm so confused. I didn't understand what was going on. I knew nothing about Be More Chill, so like I was like, a squip? I'm like, what is this thing? It sounds like a squid. And I just was really struggling to follow, like, what this crazy story seemed to be about. But I did know at the time that it was super popular, and so I was trying to, like, understand why people liked it so much. And then when I actually went to go see the show, it was just such an experience, and I absolutely just, like, fell in love with the entire idea of Be More Chill and seeing everyone in the crowd. Like I've been to a lot of shows and I've never seen people be so excited about a show. Like like the applause, like every moment people were just so engaged and clearly just loved the show so much. And then when we were exiting, I literally remember the first thing I heard was like, that was the best thing to ever happen to me in my life. I was like, oh my God. Like, people loved it. The kids were literally screaming at stage door, crying. Literal, like, people were bawling their eyes out. People, like, wearing all of this stuff. Like, they were giving the cast all of these different, like, drawings and stuff. It was such an experience. I don't know. It's something I've never seen before. But Be More Chill clearly has just been really relatable to a lot of people. And clearly has just impacted so many lives. And I've loved it ever since.
I also just looked this up. And so the first time we ever talked about Be More Chill was July 14th, because I posted in our show choir group chat, does anyone know Be More Chill? Because I need someone to talk to. And then you were like, oh my God, I love Be More Chill. I'm going to go see it off Broadway in a couple weeks. And I was like, I hate you. Because I found this musical in the way that I think a lot of people did, which is I really like musical theater Tumblr community. And so, and they're kind of like the standards of the musicals that are part of this community. And it's like Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen and Heathers and Newsies. And there's just like a pretty specific roster of shows that most blogs tend to focus on. And I can't remember when, but suddenly Be More Chill was on all these lists. I'd never heard of it before, but suddenly everyone was either like talking about it or it was referenced all the time as like a popular Tumblr musical. And I'm like, where did this come from? What's happening? So I could not tell you how this happened at all, because I definitely came to it after it had already become popular on Tumblr. But I was like, I like musicals. Okay, let's check it out. So I listened to it. And I honestly didn't love it the first time I listened to it. I think that there's a part of it, it's very, like, I think some of the plot elements were just a little too out there for me. And so I was like, I really like the music, but I couldn't get behind just some of the plot elements was really what was hanging me up on it. And I was like, okay, this is pretty good. And I can get why people really love it, but I don't. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so this was like a long time ago that I listened to it for the first time. And then I kept thinking about it. And so I listened to it again. And I kept thinking about it. And then suddenly I was like listening to it on repeat. I was just like, I don't know what happened, but suddenly I know every word to this musical. I introduced another friend to it and she described it as cognitive dissonance. So the same thing. She was like, oh, I don't really like this, but somehow I cannot stop listening to it. And I'm like, you got to get over that. And you just got to like embrace it and understand that like it just hits that part of your brain. And I don't even know what it is, but it's so easy to love and it's so easy to grab onto it, because even though there's a bit of it that's so kind of kitschy or like doesn't make sense totally, it's incredibly earnest and powerful, and the music is so good that it's easy to just let into your heart. And so that's what happened to me. So I became super into it, and then Roberto went to see it, and then I got to talk to you right after you saw it.
Literally right after it.
Yeah. I was in New York for a housewarming party for a friend, and these friends happened to live about a block away from the theater.
Literally 2-minute walk. I'm so jealous.
If I had known that you were so close, I definitely would have come to the stage door with you and then like met people at stage door, even though I couldn't get tickets to the show that night. I didn't no idea it was that close.
Yeah, it was literally so close. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you came up to the Roberto also texted me and was like, is it okay if I come up for a minute and talk about Be More Chill? And I was like, I do not live here. But our friend said it was okay.
It was fine. I was in desperate need to talk about the experience I just had.
Yeah, and it was so fun. And you need to hear about it. And I've never seen it performed live, obviously, but it was recently announced that it's going to Broadway. And we will see what happens to it there, but it's really an amazing story.
Yeah. I'm so curious if they're going to change anything from off-Broadway to Broadway.
Yeah.
Or any big changes.
What are the big changes that you noticed in between the initial cast recording and the off-Broadway show?
So they changed a few members of the cast. I know the Squip, different. One of the, I forgot her name, but one of the three.
Was it Jenna Rowland?
Yes. Jenna Rowland.
Jenna Rowland calling. Jenna Rowland calling.
Jenna Rowland was replaced. Yes, there were like a few characters that were replaced.
Also, but the main character.
Right, obviously. Will Roland is now our guy. But
only men named Will are allowed to play.
And then the big thing that I noticed was the end of Act One is now, it was a new song. It's not, I think before in the cast recording, it's Upgrade, if I remember correctly. And, in this one, it's a new song that's basically a solo, a Roland solo. It's Geek Loser, Geek or Whatever, which I personally actually didn't like. Like, I did not like that change. I don't know. My personal opinion is that way. I liked the way the cast recording had it, and then all of a sudden, there's just like this like solo thrown in as like an Act One finale, which I thought was like, I don't know. But a lot of people loved it. So, And I like did research on this to see like what people's opinions were, because I was like, I didn't like, that was like the one thing that I was like, oh, I didn't love that change. But then it seemed like people online seemed to really like it. So I don't
was
know.
The previous Act One finale was up
upgrade.
This is also the thing, is I had only ever listened to the cast recording. I never looked up it on Wikipedia or anything. Mm-hmm. I had just gotten everything from the cast recording, and so I thought the Act One break was at a completely different place.
Wait, can you confirm that it's upgrade? I'm pretty sure it was upgrade, because they changed the end of upgrade to like insert this solo, if I am correct.
Yeah, because we talked about this before.
Yeah,
but I would say when I was just listening to it, I thought that Be More Chill Part 2 was the finale to Act 1, and then More Than Survive Reprise was the beginning of Act 2, because that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, we did talk
musically,
about
musically, that made sense to me, because it's like the reprise of More Than Survive is the
first number.
Intro to the musical, and I think it's a really great first number.
Such a good first number.
And I thought that the reprise was the beginning of the second act, and that would make – there was like a lot more songs like in the second act with that being the act break, but I just assumed there was a lot of dialogue in the first act to kind of make up for that disparity. And then I was like, oh, I had no idea that was where the act break was.
Yeah. Also, I would like to say, as the intro number, More Than Survive, such a good – like. I'm so impressed.
I honestly think that is the number that really kept bringing me back in, because the music is so good, and all the bits where he's going, come on, come on, go, go. Yeah.
Good morning, time to start the day. Come on, come on, go, go, come on, come on, go, go.
That'll be in your head for years. Forever. I cannot stop singing that.
And like, it just totally sets like what the show is about, which I feel like really good intro numbers do that. I remember I was listening, just reading something about like Jason Robert Brown and talking about like Parade, and like the intro song, and how it's like in like what his thought process was, and like what makes up like a really good like first number in a show, and like what it's supposed to do. And I feel like Be More Chill really did that with One Survive. Like, it really like set the scene and like set like the tone for the show. I thought it was great, and also the music is just great.
Yeah, I want to come back in just a minute and talk about the soundtrack so much. But first, I think we glossed over a little bit the sort of timeline of Be More Chill, which is actually a fascinating story, and like, I'm sure that especially by the time this episode goes out, there will be tons of places to hear like a really in-depth version of this. But the TLDR is, this was a musical that premiered in New Jersey many years ago.
2015.
I guess that wasn't that many years ago, but still, like, so this, like, not even in New York show in New Jersey in 2015. I did all right, but like was not going anywhere. But they made a cast recording of it. And then suddenly, like a couple years later,
literally 2 years later,
we do not know why. Someone probably does, but we do not. It became extremely popular on Tumblr and on other internet communities. And the fandom became so powerful, so enthusiastic about this show that it basically revived it. And the creative team came back together. They got a lot of the original cast back together, obviously with like major cast replacements, like we mentioned, because it's been a few years. People are busy. But with a lot of the same cast, put it on Off-Broadway. It did extremely well off Broadway. They extended the run, and then they were announced for a Broadway transfer for 2019.
So exciting.
It's extraordinary. And we were talking about this earlier, like, this sequence of events is not possible at any other point in history.
Right. And I can't think of any other like show that's ever had a similar experience of literally basically dying out and then somehow being revived because of the internet.
I love that. And I think that's amazing. And I think that's the direction that Broadway should go. Like, not everything has to be snooty high art kind of thing, you know. It like, the fact that this is something that people already loved, and that love is what brought it to a larger platform, I think is amazing.
And I think it's also so awesome how it was able to do all of this with just the music. Mm-hmm. like we talked about this earlier, like the fact that so much of what Be More Chill is about is you can get through the actual cast recording, which I think allowed for people to really fall in love with the show, even though they probably weren't like videos and things online to see actual performances of the show.
Yeah. If you can't tell, we talk about this show a lot. Even today we kept talking about it. I'm like, wait, we got to save this for recording. But this is the thing that I've thought about a lot, is that in some cast recordings, because there are lots of shows that you'll have songs and there'll be dialogue breaks within the song. And a lot of cast recordings cut those dialogues out of the cast recording. But Be More Chill basically has all of them in. And so especially with the longer songs, like the intro and climactic song, have a lot of sort of dialogue and plot points are included in them. And I think that helps so much in allowing it to be accessible to people who would not seen this very specific performance in New Jersey, because you were able to really pick up on the plot and what was happening from just listening to it. Except for me, who did not understand some things that were happening.
I mean, I will also say, I was also like, I just had no idea what any of this was about. Like, I had never heard, like, really heard of the book before, like, never read it. And so I was just listening to this and I was like, whoa, what is. Like, and I had zero clue it was supposed to be, like, this weird, like, sci-fi thing. And I just was super just confused. I was like, there's a pill that he's swallowing.
There's a whole song, like, that explains what it is.
But it was when you don't really understand what a squip is. Like, that thought just, like, I was just like, what? I'm like, you swallowed a pill that's just, like, being implanted in his brain?
It's a supercomputer. It tells you what to do. Implants in your brain, and it tells you what to do. It's from Japan.
And then the entire time I'm like, okay, so I hear this guy's voice, but, like, how does it work on stage? Like, is this guy just standing there?
Yeah.
And, like,
how does it work on stage?
So he's literally just, like, a character, and he wears, like, the craziest outfits, and he, like, changes throughout the show, and just the most, I don't know, it's just the craziest things. I don't know who is designing these costumes, but it's great. And so he's just, like, will be, like, over Jeremy's shoulder or something, and then so he's just, like, a full throttle, just normal person character in the show that you just know is a squib because he's a squib. But yeah, that's how they did it. It was well done. I liked it.
That's cool.
But that was something that I was always with the recording. I was like, what are they gonna do with this guy? Like, I'm so
just
curious.
The voice of God.
Yeah, like, is he just like. Like, I don't know. Are they going to put him in some, like, weird costume? Like, what does this squib look
like?
Like, I don't know. I'm like, what does, like, how do you, what does this squib, what is it supposed to look like? This is super, I don't know. So I was curious to see what they were going to do with it.
I think they did it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures of it since, and, like, videos of the promo videos that they've done, and I feel like the choreography seems really exciting in this show.
The choreo is really good. Everything about, like, the show is very well done.
I will also say that I, when I listened to Be More Chill, I was already familiar with Dear Evan Hansen, and I'd seen it with Will Roland. And when I first listened to Be More Chill, I was like, man, this reminds me of Will Roland. Like,
really?
Wouldn't he be? No, literally, I was like, he would be such a good Jeremy. I feel like it's the same kind of vibe as his character in Jeremy Hansen. I feel like he would be really good in this role. And then he was announced as the new Jeremy. And I was like, oh my God, I did it. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But, and then some people were so mad. I think that people just, like, have a lot of loyalty to the original cast recording.
Yeah.
So they were mad that they were replacing the main character. And I was like, what are all you talking about? Like, this is such the obvious choice.
Yeah. And he is
also Will Connolly was busy. So
yeah. And he's a great Jeremy. Like, I was slightly worried. I was like, because I'm kind of one of those people that are like, you know, original people. But then he did I was very impressed with how he did it. He was like a perfect fit for Jeremy. Like, I hope that he goes to the Broadway run and kills it.
My favorite thing as well is I follow Jennifer Ashley Tepper on Twitter because she's amazing. She is the producer of Be More Chill, and she's worked with Joe Aconis, who wrote Be More Chill, for a long time. They've worked together on many things. And so she's also the artistic director of 54 Below, and she directed the Jonathan Larson project, and she's incredibly impressive. But anyway, so she, like, talks about Be More Chill a lot on Twitter, of course, and then she also was sharing stuff that Will Roland kept finding, like, because Will Roland's been a fan of Be More Chill for a long time. He was making Be More Chill references in rehearsals for Dear Evan Hansen. He, like, the first day of rehearsals, he made this post that was like, hope everyone remember their pencils, like, hashtag I love play rehearsal. And it came full circle.
Wait, that's actually pretty crazy. I didn't know that.
I know. Isn't that great? You can find I love that he was so clearly a fan of it.
Yeah.
Because this is such a fan-driven show that you kind of need that enthusiasm in the actors as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my god, that makes me love him like even more as a Jeremy.
He's so great.
He is great.
Also, I'm a Will Roland stan because I went to see Dear Evan Hansen in January of 2017 and it was snowing and no one came out to stage door except for Will Roland, and I appreciate him for that forever.
See, he's such a sweetheart.
Anyway, let's talk about the soundtrack.
Okay, let's do it.
Yes. We talked a little bit about More Than Survive, mm-hmm. and how it's like an 8-minute song, and it's this whole like Jeremy and the start of his day, and it sort of introduces you to the major characters. Also, like the very first line in the show is about pornography, and you're like, what have I gotten myself into?
Literally, he's like about to masturbate, and you're just like, what? What's like, going on?
But I mean, he's a 16-year-old boy, and that's the whole thing. And this whole song is about how, like, he just wants to not die in high school.
Or not just survive, but
yeah.
More than survive.
More than survive.
Someone needs to teach him how to thrive.
Mm-hmm. And then you get introduced to Jeremy as your main character, his love interest, Christine Canigula. sort of some of the other characters at school make an appearance. And then his best friend, Michael, who's the best.
Who is actually the best. Especially the person who plays him, George Salazar, who mm-hmm. I love.
George Salazar seems so great.
He's so great. Like, I literally look at all of his Instagram posts, and I'm just, like, in love every single time. I'm just like, you are so awesome. I want to be your friend. You and Joe Iconis are just iconic. Like, I need it. Like,
Roberta will just send me posts on Instagram of George Salazar and be like, isn't he great?
Oh my god, I just need someone to appreciate this with me.
But I love his introduction as well, especially the part where he's like,
how's class? You look like ass. What's wrong?
Like, that's a friend right there. He's so cheerful about it too. He's like, you look terrible.
Great introduction. Honestly, all the introductions are so great. Like the Christine, I'm gonna be like, Christine. Like, in the show, I didn't realize this, but they have, like, this whole thing where she's, like, doing all these, like, crazy poses and, like, it's, like, picked up and she's, like, going to sign for, like, the play, to sign up for the play. Like, it's the most, it's just so excessive, but so hilarious. And it just, like, really just, I don't think I realized how funny it would be in real life. And it was just hilarious to see in person. And she's just such a fun character, and it was, like, amazing. So funny.
But the whole impetus for the show after this is Christine signs up for the school play because she's an actress and she loves play rehearsal. And so Jeremy signs up for the school play, but, you know, he's a loser and can't get people to like him or hang out with him.
Sad.
And so he ends up, through a classmate, ends up taking a squip, which is a super, I don't remember what it says.
Super quantum computer chip pill thing.
That's
nanotechnology CPU. I don't know.
Something like that. Anyway, it is a supercomputer. It's from Japan. And it's literally a guy dressed like Keanu Reeves who is supposedly implanted in Jeremy's brain and he tells him what to do, but he's super mean. And spoiler alert, he's evil and tries to take over the world.
In case you didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So it's like this parallel plot of Jeremy trying to become popular, or at least, you know, generally liked, and trying to date Christine, but also like gradually realizing that the squip who he has voluntarily placed inside his own mind is up to no good, and ends up having to try to reject the squip and, you know, not have the entire world taken over by supercomputers.
Right.
It's like a weird sci-fi high school play. And
yeah.
Like, what? So what is your favorite song of Be More Chill?
Ooh. Oh, that's... okay.
You had to know that was going to
be I know. But it's such a hard question. I will say, I think More Than Survive is my favorite. A little basic, I know. But
I respect you.
I think it's so good. Like, I really don't think I've, like, seen an opening number that I'm just like, wow. Like, that was so freaking good. Like, I literally, every single time I listen to it, I've listened to it a million times, and I'm still so just like jamming to it. It sounds great. It's, I don't know. I feel like it just really gets you in like the mood for Be More Chill. And really just does a really good job of it being a first song.
That's amazing. I feel like all my favorite songs are ones that feature Michael. See, I love Michael in the Bathroom. Michael in the Bathroom is almost entirely in my range. Almost. There are, like, in the chorus, it's like, Michael in the Bathroom, when I'm trying to sing it.
Now I'm just Michael in the Bathroom, Michael in the Bathroom at a party.
Forget. But that became my, like, late night driving karaoke song. And I also really like Two Player Game.
Yeah, Two Player Game's pretty good.
Mm-hmm, which is Michael and Jeremy's friendship duet.
Very wholesome.
Yeah, it's very wholesome. They're sweeties.
And Michael in the Bathroom is also just like that's like Be More Chill's like song.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, I feel like, what like really people, I feel like everybody can relate to it, you know?
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before it becomes one of those songs that you're not allowed to sing in auditions anymore.
Yeah. I feel like it must be already, like, even now, just yeah. getting there. Like,
what is this?
Like, again?
I also really like the Smartphone Hour.
Yeah. And have you seen it? They did it on Broadway, like, in the park or something like that.
I saw it when they did their sort of press thing before they premiered. But I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, there's like a Broadway in the Park thing that they did or something like that, and they do Smartphone Hour, so you can like see exactly the way it is in the show, and it's just so good. Like the way that they do it is just so funny. Like that song is so ridiculous, like, but they just like make it work.
OMG, quote, answer me. Whoa. I can do every word of that song, including the part where she's rapid fire reading emojis out loud.
And also space and frowny face. I'm sorry that Jeremy made out with me at the party, but it was totally his fault. And let's not let boys ever come between us ever again, okay? Smiley face, lipstick, kitty paw.
It's just so ridiculous.
It's so overdramatic. I honestly think that was one of the songs that was kind of the hang up for me when I first yeah. listen to it, because it's like, why is this happening?
Yeah, like it's like, just like
so over the top gossiping yeah. on, like, it's very much like the dangers of smartphone use, that kind of vibe. But I also, like, the more that I listen to it, the more that I realize that it's very over the top on purpose.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be ridiculous and funny.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, okay, they're in on the joke.
Yeah,
you know?
And it really is just so ridiculous, but so, also so funny.
The choreography that I've seen of it, too, with Jenna on her phone just, like, yes. smashing the phone.
Yeah. Literally. Just destroying her iPhone.
Did you see Rich? No, I was crying. So harsh. There are so many good lines in this musical that just, they're so funny in context and make no sense it's out of context. My favorite is when the squib is first implanted into Jeremy's head and he's trying to teach him how to talk to girls. And he goes, speak as if you don't care about your own death.
I also don't remember where I saw this, but there was someone who, like, at first didn't, like, know about Be More Chill, but just kept seeing things, like, online or something about, like, it's from Japan! And, like, had no idea what this is, like, what this meant. And they were like, why do people keep screaming, like, it's from Japan?
It's from Japan!
Because, like, that is, like, just, like, I feel like such an iconic moment in this show.
The first time I heard that, I laughed so hard. And then I was so pleased to find out that this is also, like, a thing we yell all the time. When they're first explaining, I've said that so many times in the course of this recording, because when they're explaining what the squib is, it's also the timing of the line as well, because Jeremy's like, so he says it's from Japan earlier in the song,
yeah.
and then Jeremy's like, so it's like drugs, and he goes, it's so much more than drugs, Jeremy.
It's from Japan!
And the way it's said makes it sound like it's more than drugs because it's from Japan.
It's just like who thinks of that? Like, it's just so ridiculous, but like, just like, so many things about that show are just like so ridiculous. Like, if someone had like that's why, like, initially I was just like, what? Like, but then, like, in the context of the show, it just makes so much sense, and it just works so I'm so impressed.
I've been thinking a lot about earnestness lately and how I think there should be more of it in the world. And I think musical theater is one of the most earnest things there is, mm-hmm. because you can't, it's very hard to do ironic musical theater. Yeah. But at the same time, we do still have a lot of like edgy shows and rock operas and very yeah. serious things, which I love, but there is still a sense of it's sort of this almost sense of like, we're musical theater, but we take ourselves very seriously. Yeah. These are serious issues. Whereas Be More Chill is able to talk about serious things that matter and like loneliness and belonging and what people will do to fit in. But at the same time, like never takes itself too seriously, is always like fully 110% committed to what it's doing at the time and is just full of this energy without becoming pretentious about it.
Yeah, no, it's incredible how it can like really just deliver its message in such a relatable way while still being this like super just energetic, ridiculous show. It's like, if you had read the plotline to me initially, I would have been like, which I think I actually was. I was just like, what the hell? Like, who would think of this? Why is this a musical? Like, why is this like what? But then when you actually, you know, we listen to the songs and like see it and just really understand what it's all about, it's just like, yeah, it's just incredible how it does what it does.
It's a work of art. Props to Joe Iconis.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah, let's talk about Joe Iconis. So I was not familiar with him at all before this.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, but then I've become a little bit more, not super familiar with the other work, but like a better understanding of what work he has done just from sort of reading about Be More Chill periphery things. I know you're like in love with him now. So.
I feel like I'm in love with the duo of like George Salazar and Joe Iconis. Mm. Like, it's just such a good pair, and like they always just post things together and it just makes me so happy.
They made an album together.
I know,
called Two Player Game.
I was like, yes,
which is mostly just George singing Joe yes. Iconis' songs.
Yeah. But I love it. It brings in Smash. It's just like, oh
yeah,
so many okay. things that I love coming together.
I realized about 2 weeks ago that Joe Iconis wrote the song yeah. Broadway Here I Come.
And the Goodbye Song?
And the Goodbye Song, which are my two favorite songs from Smash. So this is the thing. I don't know how I didn't know this. It's because it somehow missed me completely. But like, I love Smash. We've talked about Smash before. If you listen to our members episode, all about Smash. And I probably had like heard his name in relation to Smash before, but like hadn't registered because I didn't really know who he was. And then just the other day, randomly, I saw his name listed that like he had written Broadway Here I Come and the Goodbye Song, which I love both of those songs so much. And I was like, everything makes sense now. I just thought Joe Iconis and like the Be More Chill crew was into Smash because it's the same kind of vibe yeah. of like musical theater, yeah. kind of ridiculous, super fun thing. I didn't realize he literally wrote for it.
Just bringing together all the things I love, it makes me like so happy. Yeah. It all makes sense.
This is us also talking about everything Roberto and I talk about is either Be More Chill, Ren, Smash, or the Jonathan Larson Project, which is a culmination of all the previous right. topics.
The Jonathan Larson Project just like amazing. Literally yeah. bringing together all of these different things that are just so great.
Once the cast recording comes out, which I'm so excited for, by the way.
I know.
When the cast recording of that comes out, I definitely have to do an episode about it because I didn't get to experience any of it because I don't live in New York, but I'm very excited to
be able to listen. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so glad that they're doing a cast recording because I was really sad. I was like trying to see if they like posted any videos online and stuff. And I think I saw like one, like Green Street, I think they like posted on YouTube or something like that. But everything else, like they didn't. So I was like, oh. I'm like, but I want to see more. So I'm really glad they're doing the cast recording. It's going to be great. I was getting to hear like a lot of like Jonathan Larson's work that I've never got to listen to before. Mm-hmm. Super, super cool.
Yeah. But now you're going to be in New York pretty soon, so you'll actually be able to see Be More Chill on Broadway too.
I know. So excited. I can't wait to compare. I'm like so excited to see what they change. Yeah. I'm so curious. I'm sure they're going to change like some things. Yeah. So I'm curious to like what they end up deciding. It's also, so they actually send out like a survey after, if you've seen the show off Broadway, because they're like doing their stuff, like the Broadway show, and they like ask a bunch of questions and stuff like that. And I remember one of the questions is like, who'd you go see the show with? And they give like literally 30 options. I'm not kidding. They're like friend, sister, grandmother, like literally like 10th cousin. Like there are literally 40 options on this list, and not one of them is just but myself. And so I had to click other and then put in by myself, and it was so sad. I was like, okay.
That's so funny.
I literally just couldn't believe they literally had any person that you could possibly have any sort of relationship with on that list. Like, literally everything. And not just you.
They really should have thought about this.
No. I'm like, yikes. Like, way to make me feel. I'm like a loser.
Well, yeah, I can just empathize with Jeremy. I think the only Broadway show I've gone to see by myself was Dear Evan Hansen. Because it was also the same kind of thing. It's like I just bought a ticket weirdly in advance and the date rolled around and I was like, well, so I'm just going to this.
I mean, I feel like I've seen a lot of shows by myself. A lot, actually. Because I grew up in the Boston area, and so I'd go to see, like in high school, I started just going to, like, random shows, like, whether it be, like, Broadway in Boston or, like, a lot, we have a lot of schools in the area, so, like, a lot of school productions, and so I would always, because I was so into it, and so I'd go to a lot of things by myself, and then, like, during, I spent the past few summers in New York, and I would always, like, try to go on, like, a Saturday, and try to, like, find really cheap tickets, like, last minute, like, playing that whole game, and so I feel like I've gone to a lot of shows by myself, and I really liked it. Like, I've never felt uncomfortable or weird or, like, and, like, I feel like you can also bond with people by doing that. Like, I remember, what show was it? I think it was Mean Girls, maybe. There was just, like, a squad outside of, like, Barrett Wilbert Weed, just, like, super fans that were also, like, watching it by themselves. Mm. And we just, like, bonded over it. Like, it was just so great. Like, we, literally three of us returned because we went to the matinee, and but Barrett didn't come out. We're like, wait, but we want to see Barrett. And so we literally three of us just happened to also return in the evening because we just wanted to see her come out. But it was just, like, I don't know, like, it was literally, one of them was, like, a teacher from, like, Tennessee or something. And it was just, it's just really cool to be able to, like, meet people and, like, get to, like, learn about why they're there and, you know, why they love it so much. And I feel like it's, when you're by yourself, you're more inclined to interact with other people because you're just, like, there mm-hmm. by yourself.
I haven't really gone to see shows in New York by myself besides Dear Evan Hansen, like I mentioned, because whenever I'm in New York, I'm, like, there with people.
Right.
I've never lived there and just been, like, bopping around by myself. But then I have seen especially would, like, go to shows at the ART, the American Repertory Theater, which is, like, our local theater in Cambridge. So I'd go there to shows by myself at random times. And then I saw Tootsie by myself in Chicago. I've been living in Chicago for like 2 days and then entered the lottery for Tootsie and I got the tickets and I was like, all right, this is, wait, side story about Tootsie. I knew literally nothing about this musical, had never seen the movie, didn't know who was in the cast, knew nothing about it. And I walked in, I opened the program, and the stars were Santino Fontana, and who I know from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and then Lily Cooper, who I know from SpongeBob. And I was like, oh, these are, like, real stars.
Yeah. Like, I actually knew nothing about that show. And, like, I actually still don't know anything about that show, really. But, like, I think you posted, like, a picture.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I saw the names, maybe. Or I don't know. I was just like, whoa. I was like, what is this? What is this show? I've never heard of it before.
Yeah. Well, that's going to Broadway, too. It was really funny. Yeah. It was, like, a good night out with fun times.
Mm. Night out in the town.
Yeah. Another show that's not aggressively taking itself too seriously. Look, I brought it back. I wanted to come back to this in terms of changing stuff for Broadway. I do think that they are in a little bit of a tough spot with the fan response, because when people are so attached to a recording, which is basically an unfinished product, because all shows that are going to Broadway, like they're going, they out of town runs change before they get to New York. Mm-hmm. Off Broadway runs change before they get to Broadway. Like that is a very, like those are basically trial runs to figure out what you need to change. And then shows continue changing up through previews into opening night. And at that point, the show should be frozen. Sometimes it's not, but that's a different thing. And so it's like, it's not until that point in that recording that you can definitively say, like, this is the show. But when people are so attached to previous products, yeah. I feel like they probably have a difficult time figuring out, like, what can we change? And they have less flexibility than most shows do, which don't achieve any kind of mainstream notoriety in the theater community until they're on Broadway.
Yeah. I feel like that does put them in kind of like a weird spot in that sense, which I think is why they seem to be really trying to get feedback to see like what the people want. Which, like, I thought that survey was so cool. In fact, they literally, I've never had that happen before. Like, the show literally sent out a survey afterwards to, like, your email being, like, we want, like, it was like this, it was actually pretty lengthy. Like, they were really trying to get, like, a really good understanding of, like, why people came, like, why they liked it, like, if there were any changes that were made, like, what would be, like, suggestions and things like that. So it seems like they're making a very active effort for the changes that they're making that people want those changes. Which I think is pretty awesome. And I thought that was pretty, I think it was a good move on their part to get feedback, and especially because so many fans are just so passionate about the show and just care about it so much. And so really understanding that, like, if they change certain things that people really won't be for, or that there's like something that a lot of people want changed, and then change that.
I'm interested. I do hope I get to see it on Broadway at some point.
I'm so pumped to see it. I have to see it. Oh, I'm so excited.
It's fascinating to me because I mean this in the kindest way possible. I don't anticipate it winning many Tonys.
Interesting.
Because I don't think it's the kind of show that the Tony Committee likes to reward.
That's fair.
I think that maybe some of the performances, maybe, but I don't know. It depends on the rest of the season, which I think is still kind of taking shape at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard to say. But I feel like there's a real possibility that, like, of course, right now King Kong's on Broadway, so who knows? But I feel like there's a real, like, possibility, honestly, that, like, that other shows will become front runners, because even though it has, like, the very fervent fan base, that doesn't necessarily will pay out in, like, specifically Tonys, not necessarily, like, other kinds of awards, but, like, specifically the Tony Awards. I don't know if they would want to, like, make Be More Chill the kind of front runner that you would expect from, like, the fan response. Because I feel like, Dear Evan Hansen was, like, the front runner of the Tonys in its year, and it was also, like, the most popular show in terms of box office and that kind of thing. But I don't think that is going to be correlated in the same way with Be More Chill. That's just my personal prediction. But I also think it doesn't necessarily need the Tony accolades to be a successful show the way that other shows often do.
Yeah. I think that this show just already has so much buzz on its own. That, like, even if it doesn't, which, I mean, I still hope it does, because I do think it's just a very well-made production, and I think that, I'm hoping that they do acknowledge that. Like, I do think it deserves to win Tony's, but even if it doesn't, I think that it's still such, like, a popular show, and it's just so well done that, and people do love it already, so... It's interesting to see a show that's kind of going to Broadway already, like, very, 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 very popular. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there are shows on Broadway that most people just literally have never heard of until they, like, get to Broadway and they're like, oh, there's a show on Broadway. Like, King Kong, what?
Yeah, King Kong's on Broadway now.
Yeah, like, what? even shows that I've come to love, like The Man's Visit. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Had no idea what it was about. I, like, just got to New York and I was like, this show is on Broadway and I haven't seen it and it's nominated for a bunch of stuff. Like, I should go check it out. I, like, listened to it a few times, really liked the music, and then saw it, like, live, and I was just like, wow, like, that is, like, but I don't know if I would have even gotten into it if I hadn't seen that it had so many, like, Tony nominations. like that was something that, and then I like was reading online that like people were predicting that it would win stuff, and so I was like, oh, like let me get it to it now before like the prices spike up, after the Tonys. But like I really don't think I would have gone to see it if it wasn't for the fact that they had so many Tony nominations. There's so much like people saying that they were potentially going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen the band's Busy yet. I've never listened to it. I'm waiting because the touring production is coming to Chicago next year. So I'm hoping to go see it in person and like experience it fully.
Oh, yeah.
That is an amazing way to experience the show. Like if you know you want to see something, if I know I want to see something and I know I'll be able to see it relatively soon, I try not to listen to it beforehand.
Interesting.
Because there are a couple of shows that I've gone into blind and I feel like that was a really cool way to experience it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was like when Hamilton came out, like I didn't have no sense of when I was going to be able to see it, so I didn't listen to it, and it was great. I have no regrets. But if I know I'm going to go see a show at a certain period of time, then I'm like, well, I might as well wait, and then I can just listen to it after.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I've never done that though. I can't think of a single time that I've done that. I feel like every show I've like listened to beforehand, I for some reason always seem to like, because I don't like being confused when I'm like. And so many shows, it's just like having to like listen to like ever get every word from the song to really understand like what's going on. I think for some reason I've always been like, I'm just gonna make sure I understand what I'm getting myself into, and then I go. But I do think it'd be an interesting experience to literally walk in completely blind into a show, like literally never having listened to like a song. And I've technically done that, but not with, like, actually good musicals. So, like, I feel like it's not a fair, like, experience. I was just like, wow, the show's not great, and I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I've done that. Jagged Little Pill, I mean, obviously I know Alanis Morissette's music, but I
don't
know anything
yes.
about the show.
No, actually, yes. I saw Jagged Little Pill, and I literally, like, and I didn't even know that, like, that many of Alanis Morissette's songs. Like, I knew, obviously, like, ew, I don't know, like that one, but like, I don't know what it's called, but yes, actually, yes.
You want to know.
That is a show I would say that I walked into not really knowing too much about it.
Mm-hmm. And that was again, great. Because, well, one, because we love the ART, we love Diane Paulus and, you know, gotta go. And also because a friend told us that it was really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, word of mouth is really powerful. So Jagged Little Pill, I didn't really think. Tootsie, I knew literally nothing about, went in, had a really good time. Dear Evan Hansen, I had heard Waving Through a Window, and I had a vague sense of the concept of the plot, and that was
but
all.
But that's it?
The cast hadn't come out yet.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I wish Dear Evan Hansen is a show that I really would have loved to experience without knowing anything beforehand, because that would have been like a whoa.
That was kind of my convert into appreciating going into shows blind. I've gone to see shows, like I went to see Rent after being a huge fan of it for years and knowing it backwards and forwards, and like that's a whole experience of seeing a show that you love live for the first time. It's also an experience like going into a show blind or like almost totally blind. And I feel like those are really powerful in different ways. And so that's why it's kind of like there's a couple shows coming up to Chicago soon. Like I mentioned, the band's Visit and like Anastasia's coming. And I still don't know a lot of songs from Anastasia. And so those are kinds that are on my radar of like specifically not checking out at any point until I can see if I can see them in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go see My More Chill.
Please go do it. You will not regret it.
Yeah. And Be More Chill is kind of the antithesis to all of that, is almost everyone that goes to see it either like deeply loves it already or is like going because of other people who deeply love it told them to.
And those people then become a part of the deeply love it group.
Yep. Is there a name for the Be More Chill fans?
I don't think like a Rent Head type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I've never heard one.
We can find out. And then I can claim myself as one.
Wear it as a badge of honor. We've talked about the fandom all throughout and how powerful it is, but I also just want to touch on like how fun it is to be a fan of something that has such a vibrant fan culture. And I feel like that's why fan culture is so self-sustaining, because like when you're the only person who likes something in this age of internet communities, like it's great to like something, but when you like something and you get to like search for it on a website, and everything that comes up is jokes about it and fan art and fan theories and gifts of it, and you get to feel really part of something, and it's like this self-sustaining world of content. You can just live there happily forever.
Yeah, it's so interesting how you can just connect to so many people from like all around the world that are complete strangers, but like you're all really into like this one thing, and so like everyone's posting all these different things, and like I don't know, and you really just get to appreciate all like the little jokes and all the different art that people spend so much time doing and making about the characters in the show. You know, it's something that's it's really cool. It really just shows the power the internet can have.
Okay, it's time to kind of wrap this up. So let's go to the lightning round.
Ooh, okay.
Which we did not prep for at all. Let me remind you all. But what's your favorite song for Be More Chill?
More Than Survive.
Good, we covered that. What's your favorite line from Be More Chill?
It's from Japan.
It's from Japan!
Okay. Saw it. Your favorite character?
Michael.
And if you could play one character, who would you pick?
Ooh. That one I did not see coming. Honestly, Jenna Rowland.
Jenna Rowland calling.
Oh my god, yes.
I would love to do like smartphone hour. Like I do. Yes. I think that'd be such a good time.
What is the line where she's like, I'm only telling you because you're my best friend? No, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I know.
Because you are my closest friend.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I know.
It's just so fake, so high school. Like, it's just.
Great. Who would you recommend go see the show?
Ooh, everyone.
Okay, besides everyone.
Honestly, if you enjoy a good time, just your classic like high school but like with a really big twist of sci-fi supercomputer thing, and if you can just like, you know, buy into it and really just enjoy it, I think that you would really like the show.
And finally, if you could combine the show with another musical, which would you pick and why?
I think you could potentially combine it with Mean Girls and take certain aspects from both and make a really interesting like high school plot line that I think it could work. I think you could make that work into a really interesting you know, story about teens struggling in, yes, your high school life.
Regina George calling.
See? I can already see it.
Call us, producers. All right. Thank you so much
of
for
course.
Talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's thank always y'all. A great time.
Thank you all for listening.
Thanks, y'all.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Corner of the Sky. You can find us online at theincomparable.com/COTS or follow us on Twitter at COTS Podcast. If you like, you could also review us on Apple Podcasts or recommend us in Overcast. Until next time,
be more chill.